Well, as you can see, the title of our lesson three is The Role of the Holy Spirit in Interpretation. And last week, Pastor Ace was in lesson two, and the title of that was The Pitfalls of Bible Interpretation. And we looked at a lot of the common errors that are made in interpreting Scripture. And this week, we're going to be looking at a similar topic, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit in guiding us in interpretation, or the illumination, the illuminating role of the Holy Spirit as we labor to understand and study God's Word. We learned last week that it's important to stay close to the meaning, to not veer away, to stay away from those common pitfalls, because we know that a wrong process will end us up with wrong conclusions, and so we need to be very careful with that. And so we also need to be careful to make sure we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in illumination and interpreting as we're reading God's Word. We see it all far too often in the charismatic church, where they think the Holy Spirit is this electrifying agent that does something apart from everyone else and is this power that we can tap into. So we don't want to have a wrong thinking about the role of the Holy Spirit as well as we are diving into God's Word. And a number of months ago, we did an equipping hour about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and I had talked about the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to him saying in John 14 that he will ask the Father and he will give another helper. And that Greek word is paraclete. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. And in sanctification and also in reading God's Word, he helps us along. So he's always there helping us. And we need his help in interpreting the Scriptures because we don't understand it otherwise. But as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. But because of our depravity, we know that we still need help from God daily to understand his word, to be able to apply it to our lives. And two, I just wanted to mention that even as Christians, we can live in unrepentant sin and grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to mention, too, that similar to when we read in 1 Peter 3, where it talks about the husband who does not live with his wife in an understanding way and his prayers are not being heard, so too, if we are living in unrepentant sin, as Christians, we need to be mindful that God won't hear us. The Holy Spirit won't work in our lives if we are not keeping a clean conscience, right? So that's important. So ultimately, what's at stake here is our sanctification as believers and the salvation of the lost. And with regard to sanctification, we are called as believers to walk in a manner worthy, and we're going to progress from the milk to the solid food. And so that's our sanctification. If we're not growing in God's word, we're continually on that diet of just milk. And then two, as believers, we're called by Christ to go and to make disciples and to teach. And if we don't understand the condition of the unbeliever and the lost sinner, we'll just be like that noisy gong or that clanging cymbal if we don't rightly point that unbeliever to God's word. We'll be doing it in our own power and our own efforts. So let's go to our worksheets, and we've got our key verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Could someone go ahead and read that for us?
We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God.
Yes, and we have received that spirit, and it says, so that we may know. Okay, that role of the Holy Spirit, again, is the helper. And even as saved sinners, as I mentioned, we still need that help from God to understand his word because of our depravity. And praise the Lord that he does give us that help through the Holy Spirit to understand his word. Okay, so the doctrine of illumination, I'm going to read this for us. Illumination can refer either to one's salvation or to a believer's need for greater understanding of or by or enlightenment regarding the Bible. Regarding the latter definition, illumination is a spiritual sense, in spiritual sense, is turning on the light of understanding so that one may apply the knowledge given in the Bible. This illumination is done by the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. So when we read God's word, we understand it, not just what the words mean, but we understand how to apply it. We understand the wisdom in it. We love it. We embrace it. And that's the illumination there that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So why is the Spirit required? We're going to go on to our first number one there, Ephesians 2, verse 1. Would someone read that for us? Yes. And so being dead in our trespasses and sin, what is the condition of man spiritually? He is dead in trespasses and sins. And that's your fill-in. And two, just if we think about Lazarus, when he was dead in the tomb, right? He couldn't do anything. He couldn't hear. He couldn't get himself out of that tomb. We're like that. We are dead in our trespasses and sins before God calls us. So as an unbeliever, dead in trespasses and sin, unable to do anything. Number two, Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Who would be willing to read that?
So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, when you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, but truly from the light of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity.
Right. And we see just the horrible nature, the horrible condition of the unbeliever. So for A, they are futile in their mind. And then B, they're darkened in their understanding. And C, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance. D, hard-hearted. And E, given over to sensuality. And that's how, that's the state of our condition as unbelievers. And it's not a pretty picture. And so that is why the Spirit is required. We are so depraved in that state that we are unable to understand anything of God. Number three, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Could someone read that? Yes, and yeah, like I had mentioned earlier, the natural person, you may think, well, surely they can understand the text, right? They can understand what the words mean, but they're not able to make deeper application. So the fill-in there is they do not accept the things of God. Spiritual truth is foolishness to him. He cannot understand it. They do not accept the things of God. And spiritual truth is foolishness to him. He cannot understand it. Not able to apply the truth to his life. Doesn't see the wisdom in that, nor love it. Going on to number four there, who could read Romans 8, verses 6 through 8? Yes. So our fill-in there is, it is hostile toward God, and it does not subject itself to God's law. It's hostile toward God, and it does not subject itself to God's law. And in Galatians 5:16, we read, "We are called to walk by the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the desires of the flesh." So the mindset on the flesh is not able to follow God's law, does not want to follow God's law, but the mindset on the Spirit can. All right, moving on to Matthew 13, 11 through 13. Could someone read that?
Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever says, whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand."
Right, and so unbelievers, they're not able to discern the meaning of those parables. They're not able to make spiritual application. And so the fill in there is they are spiritually blind and deaf. Unbelievers are not able to see and understand understand God's word. And 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. Could someone read that?
"And even if our gospel is vile, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God."
Yes, and I was reminded in Genesis 6:5, where we read, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And so just the state of the unbeliever, and this is your fill-in, is their minds are blinded by Satan. And that is the intent of every heart that is not regenerate. So that's why the Spirit is required. We see that in total depravity, we understand that as we are incapable of loving God, desiring Him. And Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" So that's why the Spirit is required, because apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't have the ability to understand God's word, to apply it to our lives, to love it and embrace it. Let's move on to the next section, the Holy Spirit's role. And could someone read, please, Titus 3, verse 5. Yes, and sorry, I don't know. Did I give you the fill-in for the last one? I did. Okay, their minds are blinded by Satan. Okay. Sorry about that. I wasn't sure. Okay, so yes. What does the Spirit do there in Titus 3:5? He regenerates the believer. He regenerates the believer. And the Holy Spirit is, I was listening to a little bit of John MacArthur on the Holy Spirit and the word is ruach. The ruach of God is the power of God. And we read in Genesis 1, verse 2, "And the earth was formless, void, and the Spirit of God, the ruach, was hovering over the surface of the waters." And so the Holy Spirit is the power of God, the acting agent. He regenerates the believer. And we are thankful for that. Could someone read John 14:26? Mm-hmm. So your fill-in there is he taught them and reminded them of Christ's teachings. And similarly, I just wanted to share, thinking about in Luke 24, where the disciples are said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And that was referring to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and just how when Jesus was telling them, teaching them the scriptures, their hearts burned within them. And so too, the Holy Spirit teaches us the scriptures, teaches us and reminds us of Christ's teaching. And so that is what the Holy Spirit did for the apostles. He taught them and reminded them of Christ's teachings. John 15, 26. Could someone read that? Absolutely. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. And people often think, oh, the Holy Spirit told me that I'm going to get a new job or a car or something. But the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus and to help help us to understand God's word, to testify about Jesus. Our next one, John 16, verse 8. Could someone read that? Yes, and so the fill-in there is to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And being convinced of the reality of the sin, we know right from wrong. We have a conscience, so we've been given that, and everyone knows right from wrong on a basic level, right? You should not murder, that kind of stuff. He will convict the world regarding sin, but like we know, Romans 1 says that people suppress the truth and righteousness, but the Holy Spirit's role there is to convict the world, convince us. We know that things are wrong, but we do them anyway if we're not careful and we don't endeavor to follow the words, right? All right, number 5. Could someone read, please, John 16, 13? Right. And so their fill-in there is to guide believers to the truth. To guide believers to the truth. And that ties in well to our next one. We're just going to jump right into 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. Could someone read that? Yes, indeed. The fill-in there is, how does God reveal truth to the believer? And it's through the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is our helper, helps us to understand God's truth and helps guide us in understanding the truth. And I was reminded when I was reading this just of Peter's great confession, when Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said that you are the Christ. And Jesus' response is, blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so similarly, the Holy Spirit reveals these truths as we are reading God's word, so that we can rightly apply them to our lives. Number seven, I don't know if I didn't give you the fill in there for six, it's through the Holy Spirit. And let's move on to number seven. Could someone read, please, 1 John 2, 26 and 27. Right. So how can a believer discern between deception and truth? And that is by the anointing Spirit who abides in us. And it, just as we read there, as for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. We'll get to that later, but basically what it's saying there is, as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit within us. That is the anointing from God. And so there isn't some special person that we need to go to get wisdom and insight. As a believer, you have that in you, the Holy Spirit, to help you. But we still do have, there still is, Scripture does teach us about pastors and teachers. So I don't, and we'll get to that, but I just wanted to make a note there that we have the anointing, but we still do have a need for teacher, our pastor teacher. So that is the role of the Holy Spirit, to regenerate the believer, to teach us, to testify about Jesus, to convict the world of sin, to guide us, and the anointing abides in us. Let's move on to the next section, the believer's response and reward. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 6. Can someone read that? So how did the believers receive the word? And it is with joy. Even though the word was convicting, they still rejoiced over it, and they received that word with joy. And what a blessing it is when the scales fall off our eyes and we read God's word and we love it. Just a blessing. All right, number two, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Could someone read that? Right, and so how did the believers receive the word? As the word of God. And the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and worked in their hearts to respond to that word, gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, when we hear those words spoken, and when those words were spoken, we recognize them as from God, not as from man, right? All right, let's go to Psalm 119. And could someone read verse 12. Yes. So what is the psalmist's desire here? For God to teach him God's word, and which are his statutes. So Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And I was reminded, too, of just Psalm 42, where it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And just that longing that we have to know God's word, we hunger and thirst for it, to understand it at a deeper level. So blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. That's the desire of our hearts, is to just to know God's word at a deeper level, that we would grow in our love for him. And the next one there, verse 18 in Psalm 119. Could someone read that one? Yes, so what does the psalmist ask for? For God to open his eyes and to understand God's word. And again, just wanted to recognize our depravity, that we need God to open our eyes. We need him to do that work in us so that we can understand the wondrous things that's in God's word. And so when we come to his word, we need to recognize and that would be our plea and our prayer. Lord, help me to understand your word as I come to your word. Help me to understand it and apply it. And verse 130 out of Psalm 119, could someone read that? Mm-hmm. So what is the reward for believers? They receive spiritual light and understanding. They receive spiritual light and understanding. And earlier on in Psalm 119, when in verse 109, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we recognize that God's word gives us light, gives us understanding, helps us to navigate through this life, how to live in a manner that pleases the Lord. So that is how the believer responds, and that's the reward. With joy, God teaches us his word, gives us eyes to see, and that we may receive spiritual light and understanding. All right, let's go on to what illumination does not do. And number one there says, illumination does not function outside of God's word. Could someone read Psalm 119:18? And then someone else, please get ready to read Luke 24:45. Yes. So illumination does not function outside of God's word. So open my eyes that I may behold what? The wonderful things from your law. He doesn't say that I may behold, you know, whatever I'm thinking about or whatever I want. That our prayer is that God would open our eyes so that we may behold the wonderful things from his law. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So we understand that God's word is truth, and what we need is our eyes need to be open to God's word. And so illumination does not function outside of God's word, because the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify to Christ, to the Father. Number two, turn the page there. Illumination does not guarantee that every Christian will agree doctrinally. I thought it was a very interesting one, because the human element can cause false doctrine. Could someone read, please, Galatians 2:11 through 21, a little bit longer one there.
But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing
that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly.
Yeah, so we read about this this tension here that it says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. And so, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, the total depravity, we are depraved even as believers. We have the remnants of indwelling sin in us. And so this is precisely why we need illumination, because of our depravity. And so so illumination doesn't guarantee that there will be agreement in everything. It doesn't mean that there's not a right understanding of Scripture, but it helps us to understand that in our depravity, we can come up with, there can be discernment, or disagreements, opposition, and problems there with interpreting. And two, I came across in 2 Peter 3:16, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. So even when we read in 2 Peter that there are things that are hard to understand, so there are times when well-meaning Christians can come up with different interpretations. Now, that doesn't mean that they're both right, but it just helps us understand that even as we endeavor to understand Scripture, we can still come up with different conclusions. Again, they're not both right. There's one right interpretation, but that helps us understand that's how these factions, denominations, disagreements with doctrine, that's where it comes from, is us. Not that God's word is insufficient. All right. Number three, illumination does not mean that everything about God is knowable. Could someone read that Deuteronomy 29:29? Yeah, and so there are secret things that we'll never know about God. We don't understand things about God, and people will wrestle with them and try to figure things out. So illumination doesn't mean that we can figure out everything about God. However, we are called to be like the Bereans, where the Scripture says that the Bereans were more noble and they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. So when we come to a point where we may not know, it's our duty to search the Scriptures and to do our best to figure out what is revealed in God's word to help us gain that understanding. So yes, there are things that we don't know, but we're still called to dig into the Scriptures and see what is there. And number four, illumination does not render the need for human teachers unnecessarily. And let's have a few different readers. If someone could read Ephesians 4:11, someone else 1 Timothy 3:2, and someone else 2 Timothy 4:2. Yeah, so we see that these verses commend and command us to preach and to teach. So we see that we still have that need for human teachers. Like I had mentioned earlier, where it says you no longer have a need for a teacher. We clearly see here that from these verses that the same scriptures that teach us the doctrine of illumination also teaches us our need for teachers, pastors, to teach these things to us. So that's what illumination does not render the need for human teachers, as we heard from those great verses there. Let's move on to number 5. Illumination is not a substitute for dedicated, personal Bible study. And I think oftentimes too, and more of the charismatic circles, they might say, well, God told me this, or I heard a word from the Lord, and, you know, I just, God and I, we talk. We do need to be in God's word. We're not just, we don't just hear God as we're taking shower or shoveling the driveway. So could someone please read 2 Timothy 2:15? Right. And I think too about Philippians 2 verse 12, where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, being diligent to present ourselves as a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So illumination doesn't substitute our need to be in the word, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to be diligent in God's word and accurately handling the word of truth. And that's the title of this series is Cutting It Straight. We want to accurately deal with God's word. We want to accurately understand how to apply it and how to help others understand it and proclaim the gospel. And number 6, illumination is not a one-time experience. And it says 2 Timothy 2:15, but I'm wondering if someone could read 1 through 7 and then jump to verse 15. And then jump to verse 15.
Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
Yeah, so we see in those verses to teach so that others may teach, and there's that succession. Okay, and then it's not a one-time thing. It is a hardworking farmer. It is that work that we must put into it and to be diligent to present ourselves approved as a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So illumination is not a one-time experience where you come to God's word and, okay, I'm done. I've read Romans. I understand it all now. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's active. It's the living word of God. And so we come to it time and time again, and the Holy Spirit is working in illuminating and teaching us as we're in God's word and as we're growing in sanctification. So it's not a one-time experience. And I came across a quote that I wanted to read. I heard John MacArthur say that I really appreciated in a similar light to this. And if I can find it, here we go. Why is the Holy Spirit required? He says, we believe in sovereign salvation, which is not apart from repentance and faith. Sanctification, is it your work? Do you sanctify yourself, or is that the work of God? That's the work of God, but not apart from obedience. And illumination and understanding of the Scripture is the work of God, but not apart from diligent study. There's always a means by which God does his sovereign work, by which the Holy Spirit does his work. The Spirit regenerates, the Spirit sanctifies, and the Spirit illuminates. He is the anointing who is in us, abiding in us, leading us to the understanding of Scripture, so that we can know the truth, walk in the truth, obey the truth, and demonstrate the reality of our redemption. So God works through means, and we have that that call to be diligent in our study, to be diligent in going into God's Word, and we can come to it knowing that that Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, our helper, is there to help us understand. And so we should come to it not I don't understand this, but desperately depending on God to show me your word, show me how to teach me your word, help me apply this to my life every time we come to God's word. So in our application, how does the doctrine of illumination help us in our interaction with unbelievers? Well, we understand that unbelievers are dark, their hearts are darkened, their eyes have scales on them. So we need to come to them and point them to the Word. We need to bring them to the Scriptures. That's where the Holy Spirit is going to work in convicting them of their need for repentance and faith. So it's important to remember that, yes, we pray for unbelievers, but ultimately they need to be hearing God's Word. Invite them to church, read the Word with them, but they need to be in God's Word. Otherwise, how will they know unless, you know, I can't remember the verse, but how will they know unless they hear the gospel being preached, right? They need to hear the gospel. And number two, why is the Holy Spirit so important in the life of a believer? Because again, we need to depend on that Holy Spirit. I was just thinking about the same God who judges us because of our sin is the same God who provided Christ, our Redeemer, and he's the same God who gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. And so it's important for the life of the believer because God is, he's given us what we need for life and for godliness, and to recognize that the Holy Spirit is there to help you as you dive into God's Word, to apply it to your life. It's very important. It's utmost important. And number three there, how can you grow in your knowledge and applications of God's Word? I mean, this is a great that we do this on Sunday mornings. We're here for equipping hour. We're here for the preaching of the Word. This is where we need to be growing in God's Word. And then two, personal study. So, well, let's close our time here in a word of prayer, and then you guys can have some time in smaller prayer groups. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you have given us a helper. Lord, we know from your word that we are not able to understand your truth. Lord, we have fallen in our sinfulness. We need you to help us, and you offer that help, Lord, through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be able to know you, to love you, to serve you, and to give our lives to you. Lord, so I pray that you would help us to be more faithful in your word, to be dependent on your Spirit as we come to your word, Lord, and that we would just glory in the fact that you have made all these things possible to us, and you've given us new hearts that desire your word. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we come to our prayer time and later on to follow as we gather corporately to worship you. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.